Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is David Njoku. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch.
My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, we have betting odds. We're finally getting to the spot where we have player props available up to us at DraftKings, at FanDuel, Bet Rivers, all kinds of different places where we can start getting NFL draft action here and kind of helping us to maybe start to figure out where some of these landing spots are going to be for these players in our fantasy leagues, and also to see if there's any sort of value or anything here that we might be able to look at and maybe be able to pull out some long shot types of bets here. So much to get to. As I'm looking at the betting menu just on DraftKings, it's like I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, it's we're 2 weeks out today from the NFL draft, and there's been every type of mock, everything. It feels like we're kind of so deep in the mud right now that it's time to start climbing back out. So I started working. We should have been trying to climb out weeks ago, but it feels like you just keep on digging yourself down. So I started working on the NFL draft cheat sheet. I know Mike Band does it every single year, but I wanted to at least have my own version. I wanted to be able to look at it so that I was prepared for the final mock drafts that we get to here in a couple of weeks. So I started building it out on the back end for us and really connecting player to team. And I started with the fantasy relevant guys so we could talk about it here on the show. And then I started dabbling in the defenders, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, et cetera, et cetera. But I think today we should just focus on these fantasy relevant guys so we can talk about potential landing spots and current odds. Some current odds came out last night with guys like Jalen Milroe favored -139 to go in the first round, which obviously we saw the invitation earlier this week to be at the draft. He's one of just three players. I think it's Mykael Williams, Matthew Golden, Jalen Milroe, who have accepted invitations to be at the draft in Green Bay this year. Surprised a lot of people. The odds are now that direction. I want to get your thoughts on that. But I think first and foremost, I think we start at the top.
Did you read McShay's mock?
I did.
He came out today.
I did, and he also had the Matthew Golden to Arizona thing. So I was like, I love that.
Whenever I saw that Matthew Golden to Arizona, I went and looked just now. I was curious because you talked about it. Then we had seen it in the Mel Kiper in his 2-round mock the other day. And dude, if you look over at DraftKings right now, you can go to the draft team specials. Let's see, NFC West. It was. So for the Cardinals, defensive line edge is +175 for their first player drafted. Offensive linemen's +200, cornerbacks +300, wide receivers at +600. If you're looking to get some action there and you're willing to put your money where your mouth is with your Matthew Golden stuff, with the way some of these mocks play out and your justification for it and the justification for it that from McShay, it's starting to actually make sense to me. I think I think Matthew Golden there +600. Yeah. And who knows? Tet could fall there.
But Tet feels redundant. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Tet feels redundant with Marv. So let's talk about some of these landing spots. The top is going to be pretty clear for us, at least those top four picks with a couple of players in conversation. But I think we'll get really into the meat and potatoes with like the Ashton Jeanty conversation, the Tetero McMillan, and even down to like Amari and then Colston Loveland. But let's start with we're good to pass on Cam Ward. He's going to go number one overall. Travis Hunter, though, the odds have shifted in the last day, or actually a couple days. He was like -150 or -160. Yesterday he got down to minus 280 to go second overall to the Cleveland Browns. And now today, when I pulled up the website, he's minus 310. So it's incrementally going in that direction.
He's minus 310? When did that?
This is minus 310 at FanDuel this morning. So yesterday, like I said, I think it was minus 270 or 280. It's continuing to creep that direction. Reminder, number one overall, Cam Ward, is minus 20,000, for example. And then Abdul Carter, third overall, is minus 170. So Carter going second overall – or sorry, not Carter. Hunter going second overall is becoming more clear and clear as the days go by. Three teams I wrote down for Travis Hunter for the cheat sheet was Cleveland at two, the Giants at three, and New England at four. I personally believe New England is the nuts landing spot for fantasy output for Travis Hunter, for career potential for Travis Hunter. The Cleveland and New York spots scare me because there's no quarterback in Cleveland right now. There could be a wild card conversation we could have with Shador potentially back during his way in there if Cleveland trades up from 33. But then you have the New York Giants there as well. Do you have a lean for these three teams, preference, or you know where you're going to probably be mocking him in a couple of weeks if you had a guess today?
So it looks like, I mean, I think that there's no way Travis Hunter falls to number four. And so for the number four pick, they have him at plus 1500. So for number four, presumably it'll be the Patriots, but who knows? I think the Patriots are going to be find themselves in an interesting spot, dude, because it's going to go Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and then they're in this spot where we've had the discussion about what do we think that Mike Vrabel thinks about Will Campbell, right? Mm-hmm. The offensive tackle out of LSU. We have our concerns about his general size and his profile. But there's the stuff about, okay, well, then you pivot to Armand Membu, and if you do, does – any worry creep into your head about you need a left tackle, right? Is he going to be totally fine there? And then you start thinking, well, is that too early for Kelvin Banks? I think most people in the industry right now would tell you that is too early for Kelvin Banks. I think his positional over under right now is still at 18.5. McShay last night mocked him at 18 to the Seahawks. You know, I think he could end up going earlier than that. And I also think that there's one of these props here with the Chicago Bears to take an offensive lineman that I think is has some value to it. But I think to me, number four is just where it starts. And I don't know what they're going to do. I think that it's probably – it's like – I just feel like, you know, you say you don't draft based on need, but do you really think that – Could Vrabel fall in love with like Jalen Walker or Mason Graham or something like this and take it over the big need there at left tackle and maybe just hope they can get somebody? When is their next pick? Are they going to be in striking distance for like a Connerly or a Simmons or if one of those guys falls?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they could trade up. They're currently picking at 38. They have two third round picks as well. And they have multiple sevenths. So if they wanted to trade up from like 38 into the you know late 20s or something to potentially get a Simmons if he's there, I think that's there. Connerly's got a lot more conversation of late to go into round one, so I'm not sure he's going to be available at 38. But they could definitely be in striking distance to move up.
Who do you consider the blue chip players in this class besides Hunter and besides Abdul Carter?
You're talking about overall in the whole class?
Yeah.
Hunter, Carter, Graham. I think Graham's up there.
Is Tyler Warren?
No.
Is Ashton Jeanty?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's him. Yeah, he's blue. Yeah. Banks.
Is Jalen. Oh, so you consider Will, Banks.
Will Campbell would be if he, you know, if he was. The problem with me with like Will Campbell and Mason Graham is they're supreme players, supreme talents, supreme everything, but their frames are like
underwhelming. They don't present well, just like, and we talked about it, and I even said it and I tweeted it out from the combine saying like, look, man, here's the thing. We're going to tell you this the night before these defensive linemen walk out whenever. And because we've seen Mason Graham and yeah. You're like, whenever you see him, you're not going to, you're not going to be wowed by this guy. He's not going to come in here and look like Dontari Poe. It's like, it's just, that's not who he is. But
even being undersized, he's not Donald. Like Donald was even Donald presented.
Right.
Undersized.
Right. Yeah. It's like he generally just looks kind of like a big, normal guy. It's just a larger than average, just normal looking dude. And so but what we said was like, just trust the film, just turn on the film and watch it. He's insanely good. And I think that he should be considered blue chip. I think that Tyler Warren should be. You don't think that he should? Just for the versatility he can bring to an offense, all the things he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's close. I'm not sure. I don't think I have him quite in that conversation. Okay. I haven't looked at these guys from like a blue chip perspective. I think I've looked at them more like from a first round, second round, that type of way perspective. But I guess here's my way of defining it. If I would say blue chip would mean guaranteed 10-year vet. I would go Carter. I would go Hunter. I'd go Graham. I'd go Jenty. I'd go Campbell. And I'd go Banks. So that's six guys. Six guys that I know are going to be good.
But they're not going to take Banks at four.
Here's the thing, man. So those odds that came out last night, according to Bet Rivers, the odds to be drafted in the first round. It's a long list of guys. It's the -1,000 was kind of the threshold. It was like Dart, Matthew Golden, Mikael Williams, who's been mocked in the top 10, Derek Harmon, Gray Zabel, all -1,000, Kenneth Grant, -500, Josh Simmons, Tyler Booker. These names that we've seen consistently, James Pierce, consistently seeing like. What 12 to 32, right?
I mean, James Pierce sometimes falls out of mocks. There's some
offense. Right, but he's -110. So this is not my point. That I'm making here is Banks's name isn't on this list,
huh? So I wonder if that means that he's is Mimbu on the list?
No,
and Campbell's not on the list.
No,
and Jenty and all those guys.
Jenty's
so they're not. Yeah.
Sanders, Ward, Hunter, Jenty, Banks, Campbell, Membe.
That's an interesting kind of discovery there.
Jalen Walker.
Yo, man, here's what happened with Banks, I think. And look, we're going to get onto the fantasy side of this, but you never know where this show is going to go. I honestly think the more and more I listen to other people talking about their issues with Kelvin Banks – I think that these guys just got a ton of their exposure to it watching Jalen Walker and Mikael Williams.
You got to watch the best game, right? That's the toughest game. That's the biggest game this year.
Yeah, and admittedly, that was a game where, I mean, every aspect of the Texas offense struggled in those games. It just is what it is. And people keep talking, like, they're like, Mikael Williams, whatever, when they got the sack on Banks and stuff. I'm like, well... If you watch back some of those plays, man, you can put some of those sacks, Cody, you'll remember this very well. You put it exactly on the feet of Quinn Ewers.
Yep.
When he's just walking up into the pocket with zero awareness. And Kelvin Banks is taking Mikael past his spot. You know what I mean? And literally Quinn just,
Quinn's what was the famous one? He was on the 3-yard line, right? The 3-yard line. Banks runs Mikael back past him. He turns. It had been 5.5 seconds, I think, I'd clocked at that point. Yeah. And then Mikael just kind of turned backwards, and Quinn was just
Quinn just walks into him and gives him a hug.
He's Banks like, what am I supposed to do?
Banks throws his arms up in the air. He's like, man, am I going to get credited for a sack allowed for that? I didn't give him a sack for that, in my own charting. But I guess some people did. I don't know. That's what I think about Banks. I think that probably the narrative with him has gone a little bit too far. I think it's interesting that you consider him sort of like a true blue chip in the class, because it was just coming back to the fact it's like if I guess it doesn't matter. I guess I've just talked myself through it. If we believe that they think that either Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks, or for that matter, Armon Mimbu, if they're comfortable with him at left tackle, they're like true blue chip guys, then you would definitely take the guy at a position of need who you think is a true blue chip guy, as opposed to taking the true blue chip guy and then addressing your position of need at 38 or moving up slightly from 38 to, if Simmons now is a favorite to go round one, go up and get him. Like, But for our fantasy purposes, I don't think that there's any chance. I don't think there's any chance that Travis Hunter falls to four.
Okay, so I should take him off the sheet there.
Yeah, well, I don't. I mean, I guess it's always possible, but it's at this point in time, dude. It's going to mean that either the Giants or the Browns took Shadur, and I just don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Yeah. All right, that's fair. Speaking of the camp, one more question about the Banks and the Campbell thing. If you're building a board, you personally, who have watched all the Kelvin Banks, you know how Will Campbell plays. Can you have Campbell in a different bucket? If you're looking at this from a tier or from a bucket perspective, and you're ranking horizontally, can you have these guys in different buckets? Is it possible to have these guys in different buckets?
I value all three of these tackles at the top very similarly.
Okay, so that's the whole point then, right? It's like that should tell us in itself. I don't think that there's
it feels like there's a wide perception out there that like people say like, I mean, you hear, I, you know, I'll listen to people talking about how things could fall and they say like, well, you know, Chicago, well, you know, the two tackles are already off the board right now. So who knows, you know, they might've gone tackle if one of those was left. I'm like, well, are we forgetting that Kelvin Banks is in the same bucket?
Everybody does. Everybody just is, they're just like, oh, yeah, it doesn't. I mean, he's going to fall to the team. They're completely blind to it. I don't think that there's a Joe Alt. I don't think that there's
No.
This is what I'm saying, though. Like,
Alt made it so easy on us that year. He made it so easy.
In this class, these guys are blue chips. But in real life, like, if Joe Alt was in this class, I probably wouldn't say that they're blue chips. This class is just weaker in that, you know, weak at the top.
Yeah, but deep.
Okay.
Deep through. And that's just the more and more I'm thinking about the conversation we were having yesterday about these running backs we love so much. All of our day two draft capital dreams that we were began to worry about yesterday when we see Mel only sending seven of these running backs in the first three rounds. Like, I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get a bunch of these guys day three just because they're going to take more. It's so, like, I think this year, as we talk about this stuff and possible landing spots, when we talk about the ability to trade up and everything, I don't think that when these people, like, teams are going to be very, very, very open to trading down. And it's going to be harder to trade up because it's like, it feels like rounds two and three is just value city for a bunch of these, like defensive line, edge. It's just like really, you know, really good players. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that works out.
All right. I want to get to some of these day two and day three guys, but I want to get through all these first rounders first. So when I'm building the cheat sheet out, I'm going to take Travis Hunter off in New England because I think everything you said makes sense with the landing spot. Obviously, the odds are in favor of Cleveland right now. If not, the Giants feels like the layup home run. So we got Cam to Tennessee. I got Travis Hunter to the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants. The next player I want to talk about, let's go to – I think we'll wait for Shadur. Let's talk about Teterow McMillan. So Teterow McMillan, the window for me opens up at pick six with the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't agree with it. I don't see it, but we've seen the mocks there for Teterow McMillan. So I got the Las Vegas Raiders at six, the Jets at seven, Carolina at eight, New Orleans at nine. You have the Cowboys. I think you have the Seattle Seahawks. You have a big drop from the Cowboys down to the Seahawks. Tampa is questionable. Denver. And then I think that's it until the end of the round, which it would have to take something maniacal, I think, for him to fall to the Detroit, Washington area. But a ton of teams here for Teterow McMillan from the Raiders all the way down to Washington. What do you think is most likely and what do you think the best is?
The best for him or the best for you think?
Both. I mean, both perspectives, right? The best situation. I think the best situation for him would probably be the best situation for us for fantasy.
For fantasy.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way he goes to Las Vegas or Carolina or New Orleans.
Even though I know all of the information coming out of Carolina would tell us defense, but – and they, again, you're looking at what the Panthers have in this class. They have nine picks, right? They have four in the top 111. They have five in the top 114. If they say they're going to spend everything on defense, if you're going to do that, and I know we've talked in the last couple of shows about, you know, the potential of using 57 on a receiver or maybe 74 and it being like a Jalen Knoll or a Jack Besh or something.
Yes, that's perfect.
But they've spent early on late first round, early second round on Mingo and Xavier Legette the last 2 years, and they haven't exactly fired to the top level. If you're going to make a splash, would you do it at 8 potentially, and then the rest of the draft is defense?
No. No. I want to make a splash with Jalen Walker or Mykael Williams or Mason Graham. I think I'm in eight. I'm like, and we know who four of these picks are going to be. I'm in a lock city striking distance for one of those three. That's what I'm thinking. And I know Jalen and Mykael are different kinds of players. Mason Graham plays a different position, but all those guys are awesome. They find a way to use it, any single one of them. But see how bad that defense is. I mean, if you can't, I mean, you have to be an idiot to not be able to have one of those guys come in and be just a star for you. So, no, I don't think he can go there. I think that it would be just miserable for the Saints to do it.
I mean, that would be their Michael Thomas with Chris Olave, right?
I think that that's going to be where Shadur goes.
I think so too. And just while you're thinking about this and marinating on it, the odds right now on FanDuel for the first wide receiver drafted, not including Travis Hunter, is Tetero McMillan -250, Matthew Golden's +170, and then it's a big drop off down to Emeka Egbuka. On DraftKings right now, it's Tetero McMillan -230, Matthew Golden +150, and then a big drop off down to Emeka Egbuka. So Teteroa, even though the mocks have kind of shifted in the last 3 weeks to Golden being the first one mocked to be drafted, Teteroa is a big favorite right now to be the first wide receiver off the board.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Is there one of these things where it's I thought that there was one where it was – no, they have player to be drafted by. So they have Ginty on here, which team drafts him. This is weird that the Saints – or that the Jags are in third place at +600 to take Ginty.
Wouldn't that be just maniacally stupid?
I don't think that they're considering the Gladstone – like we think the Gladstone's sharp.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate donk. Like, hey
– be like, hey, dude, we were wrong about this guy.
I went to the school of Gettleman before I came here.
Shadur Sanders. So the Saints are now the betting favorite, +205. Steelers at +350, Giants at +400, Cleveland +450, Raiders at +900, Jets at +1000, along with the Rams for Shadur. And then just while we're looking at this market, it's Tyler Warren to the Colts at +165. I know that you know what's in second place, Cody.
For Tyler Warren?
Yeah. The team that would take him from the Colts.
Oh, the Jets.
The Jets. It's +280.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the in vogue thing here with the Bears at +400. I wonder if they're could a team trade up for Tyler Warren?
I don't know about that.
You just don't think he's as good as I do.
Well, I think he's good, don't get me wrong, but I mean, this is
You can't trade up for a tight end in this draft.
Bowers just went 13th last year?
Yeah.
13th.
Yeah. And you
this kid's not better than Bowers.
No, he's not better than Bowers.
You trade up into the top 10. This is some like, you know, it's like trading to number 1 overall for an inside linebacker.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so what were we talking about? Oh,
Teteroa.
I think Shadur at 9, so I'm not there. I think it's probably, like, I wouldn't do it, but it's probably 12 to the Cowboys.
Feels like a good fit, doesn't it?
They're not going to take him. They're not going to take a running back. They're not going to take Omarion Hampton. What they should do is take Banks if he's there.
Yeah.
But
you think so? I mean, when you look at the Cowboys often, I mean, I know it's, you know, I feel like they've drafted good enough the last couple of years. Let me pull up the Cowboys depth chart, because I was like, I think they drafted, what's a big boy's name from Oklahoma?
Oh, the Oklahoma guy.
Guyton. So they got him at left tackle right now. Tyler Guyton.
Tyler Guyton. Who is Jalen Guyton?
Wind sprinter from the Chargers.
Okay.
Tyler Smith is the left guard.
Yeah.
BB in the third round last year. Right guard is their one hole with Brock Hoffman. And then Terrence Steele, right tackle. So you'd be, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, dude, if Membu fell to 12, that would be, I think.
Oh, man.
Membu.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They would definitely want him for sure. And you could take Banks and play him at right guard, I think. I'm not sure he'd love
horrible.
It. I'm not sure he'd love it.
Yeah. Be very ecstatic about that. But
yeah. So yeah, Tet, I think 12 makes the most sense. And then I think that if he doesn't go 12, I think that your next spot where you're kind of maybe looking for him, I kind of agree with you about the thing about Arizona, maybe not being as much of a fit there. Seattle would be your next one. I don't think that Tampa Bay is in play. I think Denver is 100% in play. I don't think that Pittsburgh's in play unless somehow they were to, you know, it's just not in play. They have just other stuff that they need to be doing. The Chargers, I could never see it.
My drop was down to Detroit, Washington after Denver.
Do you think if he got to Minnesota, somebody might trade up? I just don't think people are going to trade. I think Minnesota is the trade up spot for one of these quarterbacks that falls.
Like a Dart? You think Dart's, you think?
Yeah, Dart. Yeah, for sure. Or Shadur.
That might be the Milrow spot, to be honest with you.
Or the Milrow. Well, that's what McShay had in his mock. He had the Giants trading up to get Milrow there.
In the Viking spot?
Yeah. Because the Vikings only have 4 picks. So yeah. Obviously they're going to be wanting to trade out. No. Houston's the next one.
You would put, so Tet to Houston wouldn't be redundant with Nico?
No,
I put Igbuka and Matthew Golden to Houston.
Well, I mean, I think ultimately, I think their skill sets are a little bit redundant, but it's like it isn't like he's Nico Collins the 2.0. I thought that the fact that you said the Arizona's redundant had to do with the fact that they had both Marvin Harrison Jr. and Michael Wilson.
No, it's more about that number one guy. It's about more about like
– I don't think it matters that much.
I don't think they're comparable, but I think they're similar in how they play football. Like I think they're similar perspective receivers. I don't know. I mean, it would be fun to see two power forwards out there, you know.
Yeah.
Two dudes that are 6'4" out there catching – getting every rebound in the game. But
– I don't think it would be – for some reason, I just don't think it's – I just don't think a Nico Collins, Christian Kirk is as disqualifying as a Michael Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that I would love it. I would rather see him take Igbuka or, you know, certainly Golden or Burden or something like that. Burden, by the way, with you know, minus odds, you know, he's a favorite to go round one. The draft's a flat circle.
Just barely in there.
What was it? Minus 105?
121.
That's, I mean, dude, that's pretty decent. Connerly, what was that? Minus 155. Some of these are interesting. Milrow's sitting here at almost minus 140.
Yeah.
And that's just, and Egbuka's at minus 167.
I like those odds. Like Tyler Booker, I feel like Tyler Booker, there's a lot of good value in that minus 155 if you can get it.
If Booker
to me is a hammer in round one.
So whenever I was looking at player futures. So what was it? It was the position totals. All right. So total wide receivers drafted in the first round, over 2.5. Now it's minus 270.
To go what, over?
Mm-hmm. And so if you consider Tet McMillan and Matthew Golden to be locks, and we have now Luther Burden as a favorite. We have Emeka Egbuka as a favorite. Don't you think that is there maybe a value in betting that over 2.5, even at minus 270?
I think there's a little bit there. It's interesting that there's a better chance that you get three quarterbacks than it is that you get three receivers, minus 340 to go over 2.5.
Well, because Shedeur Jackson-Dart and like Cam Ward are just going to go. And somebody's going to trade up for Milroe, and somebody might even trade up for Tyler Shuck.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so stupid.
Is it really that much different than taking him at pick 33 or pick 34 or 35 or something? If you like him, you want the 5th year option, his age 30 season option. Maybe age 31 season.
I was going to say, I think it might be 31 because I think he's going to be 26.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd like both those.
Because if minus 340, I mean, that's a lock, right? The Dart thing, if you look over here, so we're assuming that Shedeur is a lock. He's not listed on this list here, but Ward number one, Dart minus 1,000. Yeah. Shador's not on the list. And then you look at this and it's minus 340. You would think
that would be $340 and you're going to get a free $100 out of that
thing. You would think that would be like minus 800 or minus 700, yeah. Or they would just move the number to like three even or 3.5. Especially with the Milroe stuff, I might even touch 3.5 with it if I was them.
But that would be more like, I think that with that, it would just be like even money, 3.5.
I think you'd get more bets on it though. But right now you're just going to get all the money should go on the over for quarterback. That shouldn't even be a question. Whereas like receiver, like you said, like it's minus 270. Like what I'm trying to say is like, as much as we can feel right now that feels like a guarantee that the over for 2.5 quarterbacks is a guarantee. The receiver one is,
it's just not quite a guarantee. It's not,
it's just
quite
on its tail, and it doesn't feel like it's as much of a guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. But I'll bet you that we see that one go up. I wish that the state of Texas would allow me to make bets on the DraftKings Sportsbook, because I would put one in on that one right now.
I think the Cowboys might be a flat circle spot here with Tet. I don't think he belongs up into this weight conversation, but I think when we just talk through this, I feel better and better about the likelihood of a Tet Roe McMillan, you know, at 12. Like it just that's the landing spot that just makes the most sense right here.
Yeah. Oh, I it feels chalky, but it feels right.
All right. Let's go to Ashton Jeanty, the running back. We kind of talked about him a little bit here, but he kind of, the door opens up as well with the Raiders at 6. You have the Jets at 7. We have New Orleans. We've talked about the Kamara situation. There's potential to get out of that massive contract this summer. Chicago at 10, San Fran at 11. We've heard that they really like him. Dallas at 12, and then Denver seems like the rock bottom floor for Agenti at 20. I do not see that happening, but that's the rock bottom floor I put in here.
What do you think about this? Where do you think that the Jets rank as far as their odds to take Agenti on DraftKings? It's Raiders minus 150, Bears plus 300, Jags plus 600, Saints plus 1300, Cowboys plus 1400, Patriots plus 1500, New York Jets plus 2000.
Really?
Yeah. The Jets have already come out and said, it was the most idiotic thing that I've ever heard. They said the most idiotic thing that I've ever heard, which was, we're going to go to a committee. We want to go to a committee backfield. So if anybody's interested in Breece Hall, come and get him, and we'll take Ashton Jeanty, because we want to bring in the back that's like the number one option that you'd want to bring in if you just want to feed one dude all the time and say you want him to be your committee back. But regardless, even though it's stupid and it made no sense that they said it, right? I'm not sure if it's a ploy to try and say, you know, that they're interested in him. Just somebody's, you know, maybe they want to trade back. But the fact that they've even mentioned Ginty and they've invoked his name and stuff, it's just weird to me that he's like eighth in the odds, plus 2,000. He's right there in the striking distance of where Ginty's going to go. So anyway.
You think he makes it past six?
Probably not. When you have so many insiders just dotting the, you know, just continuing to do this, you know, he's minus 150 to go there to the Raiders. We've talked about Spytek. We've talked about Kira. We've talked about all this stuff. We've been over it. With that being said, I just don't know. The one thing that, you know, Minch and McShay and those guys brought up was that, you know, Tom Brady has sort of said he's going to take the mantle here of proving to the NFL how important it is for, like, his big cause, right, is like he wants to show that good things happen when you take time to develop a quarterback and do it right, right? And so you think to your – and I started thinking to myself, well, okay, well, how long is Geno Smith going to be the quarterback there?
Can they wait until – 2-year extension.
What?
They just gave him a 2-year extension, like, what, on Monday?
Yeah, so – but right, so he's going to be there. But how – but. How long is he going to be the – what, 3 years?
25, 26, and then there's an out.
Okay.
27 under contract as well. That's age 37, though.
Okay, so and who knows what might happen with Geno coming at age 37. If I would have told you three, four years ago that we'd be talking on a fantasy football show in 2025 about Geno coming into his age 37 season, you'd have been like, what? So – you'd be like, what planet are you from? So if that's the ultimate plan long term, like, I'm not 100% sure that they couldn't just do something weird and draft one of these quarterbacks.
Does that sound like something they would do with Shador, though? Like, does that sound like a Shador at six thing, or does that more to you sound like a Will Howard in the second? Or
yeah,
like,
it could be. I mean, there's the Will Howard connection with Chip Kelly. Or like a,
you know, you get a value at some point with like a Kyle McCord or a Quinn in the third or something.
Yeah, that could be it too, because Brady could be like, look, I was a late round draft pick. You know, So that makes sense. I think it's probably Ginty. I think that if Mason Graham was available, you could take Mason. Who do they have besides, let me look at their depth chart, besides Wilkins?
Well, they got Kuntz, Crosby, Wilkins, and then the other defensive tackle, I think, was – they signed, like, Leckie Fotu, but I don't know.
Hold on. It was Jonah Luwalu.
I don't know who the hell that is, to be honest.
Dude, why not – Mason Graham and Christian Wilkins?
And Crosby and Kuntz? That's Crosby? Pretty sick.
You kidding me? So, I mean, I think they could do, if he was available, I'm not sure he will be available. I think that probably Ginty goes there. We know what happens if he doesn't go there. He's, you know, he could probably go at 10 to the Bears, 12. I think he's absolutely. And then I think where he's, there's only three options.
Yeah.
Jets, Bears, Cowboys.
Realistically. Okay.
And wouldn't the odds tell us the same? Yeah, no. Okay. So the odds actually tell us that the three most realistic options are Raiders, Bears, Jaguars.
What the hell, man?
Jaguars plus 600, Saints plus 1,300, Cowboys plus 1,400.
I'm not getting on this Jaguar train, man.
Me either.
That doesn't make any sense. And it would be just a colossal, you know, I don't even know. All right. Past Ginty. We got Colston Loveland, who's the second tight end off the board. Does that did we talk about Tyler Warren already? No, we didn't talk about Tyler Warren. Let's talk about Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland together. So Warren, we've seen mocks to the Jets. Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, 6'6", 256, very versatile guy. Mocked a lot inside the top 10. Jets at 7, the door opens for Warren. You have Chicago at 10, who you talked about before. San Fran's been linked to him as well, and Indianapolis there at 14. Loveland, I had the door opening at 14 for the Colts, and then going Chargers, Rams, and then the rock bottom floor being Chiefs, Eagles. Do you think that Warren is a top 10 guy, like a Jet or a Bear? We just talked about both situations. We talked about the Jets potentially taking running back. The Jets need tackle.
You didn't even mention the – did you mention the Chargers for Colston Loveland?
Yeah, I said Rams, Chargers.
Okay.
Yeah. Indianapolis and then Rams, Chargers, and then the floor is Chiefs, Eagles for me.
All right. Well, I think with Warren, so if you look at his odds, Indy is plus 165 and Jets are plus 280. Those feel like the two obvious ones to me. It's just like do the Bears right there in the middle there. If the Jets go like Mimbu, which is feels like the kind of chalky pick lately, that if the Jets go offensive tackle there, that could the Bears pick them off at 10? And that's plus 400, but the Colts then after that are plus 165. He's not going to, like, I don't know. I don't think that Tyler Warren would. Let me pull up the sheet. I'm just trying to think here. So San Francisco, no, right?
They talked about it, though. That's the thing. That's been, though, that has come out. They've come out saying that they like Genty and Warren.
Well, if they wouldn't have brought back Kyle Juszczyk, I would have said that the whole Tyler Warren thing makes a ton of sense.
That's fair.
But after getting to evaluate Tyler Warren, they brought back Kyle Juszczyk.
But the thing, they play positionless football. It's like, I mean, this guy can play everywhere.
Oh, right.
Kind of fits their style of just
Dallas is – I can't see it at all. Miami, they need to take an offensive lineman.
Colts on the floor.
Yeah, the Colts. That Colts is where it is. I mean, the Colts is – that's the last he's going to be. I think he's going to be gone. But I kind of think he's going to go to the, might somebody have to trade up to come get Tyler Warren? I keep coming back to this.
Who are you trading up with?
I think you'd have to trade up with like Las Vegas or Jacksonville.
Oh, huh. I think both of those teams would be willing to move back.
You know Jacksonville would.
Of course, yeah.
I'm starting to think Tyler Warren's a Jet, dude. You hear people who are in the know saying, like, Bears fans, don't get your hopes up about these recent mocks with Tyler Warren. He's not going to be available at 10.
He's currently minus 160 to be a top 10 pick. The favorites that are available, Mason Graham, Campbell, Jalen Walker, Genty, Mimbu, Sanders minus 200, Warren minus 160.
What is Mimbu minus what?
475.
So if Mimbu's the Jets, then where's the top 10 pick for the – is Tyler Warren really going to be a Bear, dude?
Top five picks, the only ones available that are favorites are Mason Graham and Will Campbell.
Yeah,
Warren's 1,500. So if you think Warren's going to get traded, or you think someone's going to trade up with the Jags to get Warren, you plus 1,500 right now, top five.
Yeah. If Indy loves him, what is Indy? What are Indy's picks?
And Tyler Warren's draft position is 9.5, and the over is favored. It's juiced to minus 160. So higher than – so like that's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
That's Tyler Warren. It's plus 160 to go over?
No, minus 160.
So
– favorited.
He's going to – gosh, people are pricing him in to be a Chicago Bear, Cody. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's either the Jets, the Bears, or the Colts. Lock one of those in.
Are any of those – good landing spots for fantasy football?
Probably Bears.
Is it good? Probably, it's not great.
Probably see a bunch of two tight end sets with him and Cole Kmet, and that would also make it easy for them to, you know, we've heard reports in the last 2 days that after the draft they might be interested in bringing back Keenan Allen. That would be out the window.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of weapons no left tackle, but a lot of weapons. I'm not, but like we did a Superflex tight end premium mock yesterday, and he was a first, you know, obviously he was a first round pick, but like, I don't know if any of those landing spots make me want to take him in the first round, even in premium.
I would still take him. I think the worst is Indy. I think the best is Chicago.
Would you consider taking Loveland first if Loveland ended up in with the Chargers or the Rams?
I think you would have to consider it. And that's probably what's going to happen.
I haven't seen any odds on Loveland out here on the market.
Well, I mean, let's just look. I think that there are odds you could look at just for so let's just look at – so let's look at AFC West and NFC West as far as the draft team. So AFC West, the Chargers are – their second best odds are to take a tight end. So defensive line edge is at plus 150. Tight end is next at plus 300. Okay. And then as far – so NFC West, the Rams, they're the team's fourth best odds – are at offensive or for at tight end. So offensive lineman for the Rams is plus 225. Corner is 225. Defensive line edge is plus 500. Tight end is plus 600. So I think what that's telling you is that the Colston Loveland connection from Michigan with Harbaugh and the team need at tight end is what's sort of pushing that. The only others that we have here where tight end is one of the top two. So we have in the AFC East, of course, the Jets. It's a top two odds for those guys. Offensive lineman is minus 125. Tight ends plus 280. At let's see, anyone in the NFC North that has any tight end? No, not at all. AFC South, Houston Texans have a tight end as their fourth, you know, I guess best odds, but that's at plus 2,000. So they're not. The market's not really doing anything there with them. We already said AFC West, NFC East, nothing with
Eagles.
Eagles. Okay. So Eagles, defensive line plus 100, offensive line plus 300, safety plus 500, tight end plus 750. NFC North, Chicago Bears, tight end plus 350.
Okay. So his odds right now, I found him, his draft position is 19.5. And it's minus 200 to be drafted before 19.5.
Who? And
that's Tampa.
20?
Tampa's 19, Denver's 20.
They think he's going to Denver.
But it's favored to go before that. Like, he's favored to be gone before that. Minus 200 to go earlier than 19.5.
But isn't Seattle 18?
What, am I looking at this wrong? No, it's Seattle, Tampa, Denver. Denver's 19.
Seattle's 17.
Denver's 20. Sorry. Tampa's 19. Seattle's 18.
Right.
The juice is towards Tampa. So that means the Chargers are picking at 20.
Why would they cut it off? But they wanted to cut it off at the Broncos.
The Broncos was always – I mean, that was always the conversation, right, until they got Evan Engram.
Yeah, and Broncos right now are plus 800. I think – and you say the juice is for him to go before then.
Yeah.
And the Chargers pick – what's the Chargers pick again? I have so many tabs pulled up. I can't get
– No, you're good. You're good. 22 after Pittsburgh.
Okay. Where do they have him going? Like, why wouldn't they just put this at like 14.5? That's not going to Atlanta. He's not going to Arizona. He's not going to Cincinnati.
So right now on the open on mock draft database, the favorite landing spots are Colts at 14. I still see Broncos here. Broncos. Colts. Chargers. Colts. Broncos. Chargers. One guy had Tampa. Jags at 15, so Jags would have traded down for that to happen.
He's not going to go to Tampa or Cincinnati or Seattle. Like, it would be – he's certainly not Atlanta. I just
– Rams. So you're getting plus money if you think he's going to fall past 19.5.
It's just, well, no, it's a matter of, yeah. And so what you need to think, what you need to think over is, are the Jets, are they more likely to take Armon Membu, or are they more likely to take Tyler Warren? Because if that happens, you can just lock in Colston Loveland, I think, at number 14 to Indy.
Okay. That's a good point.
Or are the Bears just going to go get Tyler Warren? The two covers. But it's weird that that's the line that they would give us and not just give us the line at 14 and a half. Why there? Why in this no man's land?
People attached to the Denver thing. That Denver okay. landing spot's got.
So I guess the Denver is this. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
One last position I want to talk about before we get out of here is these quarterbacks. We haven't talked about Shador yet. Jackson Dart minus 1,000 to go in round one, and that Jalen Milroe number coming up to minus 139 to go in the first round. Plus,
what is Omarion Hampton's?
The invite. Omarion Hampton's minus 500.
Okay. I saw that Travion Henderson was plus 225 to go first round. That was interesting to me. Somebody's going to get someone's going to get so sick in the second round with Travion.
Quinshon plus 500, Caleb Johnson plus 500. Actually, worse odds to go in the first round than Quinn Ewers and Isaiah Bond.
What?
Yeah. Those guys are both plus 400. Quinshon and Caleb are plus 500.
Well.
That's bad. All right, quarterback. Figuring out these quarterbacks will definitely be a big thing if we can hit it in our mock drafts for the Huddle Report. Shador. I have the Giants plugged in here. I have Cleveland plugged in here, but it's more right now as like a tentative, like trade back up sort of a situation. We talked about Hunter before. The Raiders, we talked about that a minute ago. We kind of both think that's probably out the window. The Jets are there as a wild card. The Saints feels like that's now probably the favorite. They're probably in the pole position right now. Seattle, Pittsburgh, wild card spots later. And then for Dart, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, and the Rams. And I didn't have anything yet for Milroe.
Okay. I think that what's going to happen for Dart is that, and for Shador maybe, I'm really starting to think that the Browns and the Giants – are going to find ways to trade up into and for the Browns, I think it's an easier, cleaner thing to do, right? I don't have the picks pulled up. Let me pull them up.
The picks for the Browns currently, they pick at 33, which is the top of the second, 67, the top of the third, 94, late third, and 104, top of the fourth. So they have five picks in the top 100. Five.
So send 33 and 67 up to, or whatever, and move up to number 25 because Jackson Dart is falling or because Shador is falling.
Dude, that right. Moving up into the shoulder right there is like that's a good Dart spot.
Yeah, and
you can get it.
And so I look and see him. It's like, well, he's going to continue to fall unless somebody comes up to go get him.
Yeah,
I kind of think it's the same for Shador if he's not taken at number 9 by the Saints. So whenever, like, I just think that means that whenever you look at the odds here for Shador. Who's going to draft him? The Saints are plus 205. The Steelers are plus 350. That's like saying that he's going to fall to the Steelers, and the Steelers are going to take him right there, right? But whenever you get the Giants and the Browns at plus 400 and plus 450, you're not only getting the backdoor chance that we've been lied to this whole time, and one of these teams actually really is in love with Shador Sanders, and all they've wanted to do is get somebody to move up. So Andrew Berry's been saying he's been leaking that we're going to take Travis Hunter, you know, and then they trade back and take Shador,
yeah.
or they end up taking Shador there, right? And it's all been a giant lie, and they were taking the whole time. So you have the backdoor chance of that happening, but also you have a chance of them trading back up, or a chance of them just like trading down taking Travis Hunter, then moving back to 8 or whatever, and taking Shador there. So I kind of think that Shador and Dart and these guys that would be considered the number two and the number three quarterback in the class, that you would say, all right, well, these three teams at the top, all need quarterbacks. They're going to go 1, 2, 3 right off the bat. I think that they might still end up kind of being in play for these guys just with trade-up situations. Because they're going to need quarterbacks, and I think they know that they're going to fall. Milroe, I have no idea what to think. I mean, I just don't know.
If we plug in Shador and Dart to either Cleveland or New Orleans, one of them goes to one place, one of them goes to the other. Ward goes to Tennessee. The Giants are wide open. That's the one team left, right? And then potentially the Rams, I guess, is a wild card.
Yeah. And all
– for quarterback.
And all three are now off the board.
Yeah, so Dart, Shador, and Ward are off the board. Giants are the only team left. That would potentially be a Milroe team.
You think the city that never sleeps would be out partying all night to get Jalen Milroe in town as the heir apparent?
You could trade up for him. Well, how far are you going to trade up, right? Like the Giants have, they have 8 picks. They don't have a ton. They have 2/3 though. They could go 34-65 and get up. 34-99 probably gets you up into. That probably gets you up to Houston at 25, Baltimore at 27. Probably want to get to Houston at 25, though, with the Rams at 26. I don't know if the Rams are a Milroe team, though.
Well, let's get out of here on this one. Of all the landing spots that we've talked about today, some of them aren't even that fun to even think about. What's the most fun to think about?
I think the most fun landing spot to think about for potential upside for fantasy football bonanza is one we haven't even talked about yet because it's so easily understandable, so easily digestible. It's the running back that we haven't talked about. It's Omarion Hampton going to the Denver Broncos.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.